Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In the absence of the village president, I will call the meeting to order and ask for nominations for chair. Trustee Green?
Nominate Randy Gast.
Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Dart? Let's nominate Trustee Gast. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hand it over.
Okay, thank you. We'll take the roll call. Trustee Kopisch?
Aye.
Here. Trustee Green?
Aye.
Trustee Gast is here. Trustee Dart?
Here.
Trustee Zeller?
Yes.
And I understand that the other two trustees, and well, one trustee and the village president are excused for this evening. So we'll do that. Is there a motion to modify or adopt the agenda as presented?
Move to adopt.
Is there a second? Paul
second.
Zeller? Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda adopted. Announcements. We have a status of freezing water services in the village. Or comparatively, you need to phrase that.
Yeah.
Comparatively speaking, lack of freezing water services in the village.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably the way I should have worded it.
Let's talk about how bad other people are and how good we are.
Yeah. I put a few notes together because there's several things here that are kind of important for you to be aware of. As far as the water services, as of today, we have 24 services that are on continuous flow. In other words, there's 24 services that we had to thaw out. And to prevent refreezing those residents and commercial businesses, we've left a faucet on so that water can continue to run and hopefully prevent any refreezing. What we found is that these are scattered about the village, and they're primarily in areas where the water service to a home or a commercial business is real close to a storm sewer, because the storm sewer is open. And that cold air gets in there, and the frost penetrates a little bit deeper, and that's where we found the freezing conditions. Those residents that we've turned the water faucet on will get a credit against their bill. We'll estimate the amount of water that was used and deduct that from their bill at the end of this process. We are not recommending to residents that they turn on their faucets on their own, because that's a significant cost, but it's a very minimal number of residents who have had a problem, so it's important that we make sure that people understand that they do that on their own, that's their cost. The temperature is moderating right now. It probably will make this worse because it tends to drive the frost deeper. How many more of these we will have is anybody's guess, but we could easily hit 30 or 40 by the time we finish the winter. We've had 9 water main breaks so far this year, which is a little bit above our average. But if you saw today's paper, there's a number of communities that have turned on water faucets, village or citywide. Green Bay has 734 homes with faucets running, and they have 141 water main breaks this winter. So we are fortunate that we're way on the low end. And part of the reason we haven't experienced as much of a problem as we would have years ago is because a lot of the areas where we had problems years and years ago, those are on streets that we reconstructed. So all those services are lower, and we've separated them so we don't have problems in those areas. So there's a little bit of a plus in terms of the benefits of the reconstruction work. And we have been fortunate. DeGroot has been able to service our needs on these breaks and for the thawing. They've been quite busy in Green Bay, but every time we've called, they've come right over and helped us out. So that is the contractor we routinely use for emergencies, and they've been real good. So the relationship that we have with them has paid off. We've been able to get them every time we needed them. There are communities that cannot get a contractor right now to do any underground work because of the amount of work that's going on water main breaks. So we're fortunate in that regard. The second item here is snow plowing and road salt use. We were notified a couple days ago that Green Bay will no longer be receiving any salt this winter because the shipping has terminated, and a large amount of the salt is being diverted to Milwaukee and Chicago. So all the communities are restricted in terms of being able to purchase any additional salt. We're in pretty good shape as far as salt and storage because we do like to keep our storage facilities quite full just in case something like this happens. However, we changed our snow plowing policy a little bit. We're not going to apply road salt at the beginning of the storm. Instead, we're going to plow with two trucks on our main routes until we near the end of the snowstorm, and then when we complete the plowing, then we will salt. So it's a little bit of a heads up because we might experience a little more icy conditions on our streets, but we can cut our salt use by 30% to 50%. And not knowing how long the winter is going to last, and we may end up sharing salt with other communities because some of them are quite low. So this was a way for us to try to deal with this situation. So it's just a heads up for you that we have a change in how we're operating, and we'll see how it works, and it's intended to kind of best fit the situation that we find ourselves in. The other thing about this is with the storm moving in this Thursday, I noted in here that we are probably going to declare a snow emergency from Thursday morning, Friday morning. We're talking with Green Bay and DePere. We always do these jointly for the communities on this side of the river because that seems to work well and coordinate our plowing. It may change. The storm may route in a different direction, but right now this is the way it looks. And we're concerned about flooding because we're expecting to get perhaps a significant amount of rain. So we're in the process of unplowing catch basins and things of that sort so we can try to minimize flooding should that occur. Utility invoices attached to the back of the handout is a copy of what will show up on the invoices when we go out. You can see we did break down the Green Bay Met charges and the Alloway Sanitary Sewer charges to separate items, so it'll show up on the bill as a separate item for each. And we will have a note on the bill for the next 2 to 3 months that will say the Green Bay Metropolitan GBMSD sewer bill is shown separately. Just so that people kind of understand why we're doing that. Last item is the Lakewood water utility bills. I mentioned this so that in case you get questions, you know where we're at. There's a little bit over 200 first notices that have been mailed. We're getting about 65-70% of those customers coming in and either just signing a deferred payment agreement or paying their delinquent bill. We did have about 73 customers that were issued shutoff notices. Most have come in and paid the bills or signed a deferred payment agreement. However, today we shut off two customers and gave a door hanger notice to a third. And tomorrow and Thursday, we probably will have a few more. So that's the process that we follow. They're through the second notice, through that second time period. And at this point, those that don't work out something with us do get shut off. So in case you get a question, that's where we are in the process. So we're about halfway through our process for the first time through. I'm sure that the next time it will be much smaller. And people have been, quite honestly, there's been very few people that have been upset by it. Most of them have said, oh yeah, I got to pay it, or is this real? but it's been a positive response. It hasn't been a negative response, but it's going to help keep our accounts current.
Any questions for Craig?
I have a question relative to those shutoffs. Is that a long-standing policy? Have we experienced similar, problems the last couple of winters? Of course, I guess it doesn't make any difference what time of year it is, does it?
No, it doesn't. As a water utility, we've been deficient in administering a policy like this. Most utilities have a delinquent bill collection process. Alloway has never done that. And it came to light last year when we looked at our accounts receivables and we were preparing for to file the tax liens on the properties at the end of the year. And when we saw how significant the dollar number was, we stepped back and looked at it and said, we really should put this policy in place. So we went through the process with the committee and the board and developed the policy. We submitted to the PSC, and about December 15th was when it was the first time that we could begin this process that would end up in a service shutoff, because you have to have all accounts current. You know, if there's 6 months in arrears, you can't apply this policy. So once everything was on the tax liens and all the accounts were zeroed out, we could fresh start, and that's when we implemented the process. I think this will bring us down to a very small number of delinquent bills by the time we get through the process. By the time we get the end of 2014, we'll be very current, I believe.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Craig? Craig, you mentioned, and you mentioned it at Public Works too, that DeGrove Construction has been, you know, a good partner in coming in and helping us, you know, fix a lot of the problems we're having on short notice and emergency situations. I think that I know they get paid for what they do, but I think, you know, when the season's over, we might want to think about the village issuing them some kind of accommodation. You know, just to say thanks, you know, that you kind of went out of your way to, you know, make sure that the customer was satisfied, and I think that would be, you know, good vendor relations.
Sure, it's a good idea.
Any other questions? All right, thank you, Craig. Public appearances, anybody? Oh, I'm sorry.
We completed our deer survey. You probably maybe you saw the helicopter flying around on Friday. And just to give you an idea, we had roughly 1 square mile that we were surveying. When you take all the different wooded areas in the village, and we counted 62 deer and 3 different flocks of turkeys. So just to kind of give you a little idea. Ashwaubenon had 134 in their deer count, and Deep Pier had 119. So that information's in the hands of the an individual from Wildlife Services or Animal Services. Just going to map it all out and then get back together to try to determine what direction we go from here.
Okay. Thanks, Brad. Any other announcements before we move on to public appearances? All right, then we'll open it up for public appearances. You can speak on any subject. We can only take action on things that are on the agenda, and if you'd be so kind as to state your name and address when you approach the podium, we'd appreciate it.
Jim O'Rourke with Historic Galloway Society. We're starting to do research on the Murphy Coles estate and on the front gate along Riverside Drive, so any of the people along that Highway 57 corridor would like to join our group or interested in participating. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Good evening. I'm Jim Rafter at 411 West Briar Lane. I was one of the 24 households lucky enough to have frozen pipes. And I just wanted to say tonight and to compliment the Public Works Department on their professionalism, on their courtesy, and how they represent the Village of Alloway. They did a great job, and they got us back up and running. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else want to be heard? And just to expand upon what Jim said, you know, I mean, we hear a lot of times when, you know, things go wrong and people complain about this, that, and the other thing, but we do have, you know, very good services in the village, and it is nice to hear, you know, a compliment. And Craig, I hope you'll pass that on to the appropriate individuals. All right, anybody else? Public appearances? If not, we will close that section of the agenda. Item number 5, action on the Parks, Rec, and Forestry Committee recommendation to proceed with the installation of the disc golf course at the village property near Louisy Park, and that it be named Deer Strait. Would that be right? Close enough? I had dinner at the Lorelei the other night, so I'm trying to speak German.
Pretty close.
Pretty close? Do I have a motion? Or do you want to hear from Brad first?
Thank you.
Okay. Brad, why don't you give us a little update on that?
Just checking. This particular item, the Park and Rec Committee has been talking about it for quite some time. It's an individual, it started with an individual wanting to put in a course both in Alloway and Pier, and as time went on, it just became a course in Alloway. So we're looking at 9 holes, Queasy Park area. Majority of it is fundraised, and there is a portion, a small portion, that has been placed in my budget to make sure the project went forward this year. So the intent is the construction of it, which is be very minimal, will start this spring, and looking forward to it, and I really like the name. I think it's very appropriate.
Any questions of Brett? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Right.
Second.
Any discussion? No, for my part, I think it's a growing sport, and I know my son and a lot of his friends have been playing it, and they run all over the place to do it, so I think it's a good addition to our parks. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Item number six, action concerning request to re-advertise and rebid the Sunset Park Trail Connection project. I'll entertain a motion. Lynn?
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Penny? Seconds? Any discussion? I think, you know, Brad had a good memo in there that the previous bid, we couldn't get it done, and they won't hold the place, and we want to add the landscaping, so it seems to me to be appropriate.
I love the idea of the landscaping getting done at the same time the trail goes in. I think that would be really nice.
We do have Craig Chu from Harris Associates here. He's the project engineer, so if you have any questions, detailed questions, I think Craig can answer those.
What are you projecting? How much lower would the bids be on the rebuild?
Well, the reason the contractor did not hold the prices last year was because of the asphalt. The trail was asphalt surface, so that was the reason last year. I would assume that the prices will come in reasonably similar to last year, maybe slight inflation. Asphalt prices have not gone up to the degree that anybody anticipated, as we have bid a couple projects already this year. So it will probably be in the ballpark, and if I recall correctly, we were well below the original estimate that was put together in the grant application. That is why the desire was to have the landscaping added right away.
Okay.
Do you have an idea of what additional cost is going to be associated with the landscaping because it wasn't in the original?
We didn't.
I believe there was approximately $40 associated with the landscaping, but we shouldn't be anywhere near that.
Was that in the original drawings of the landscaping?
I'm sorry.
Was the $40,000 that you're referring to in the original drawings of the landscaping? Because it was quite
correct.
Elaborate.
Correct. And with the a little bit of a change in the design of the trail, due to proper design, it doesn't have quite a switchback that was shown. And so therefore, we're able to eliminate the retaining wall as well. So that was a big expense that is no longer in the project.
And what has to change with the funding of the project with the addition of the landscaping?
It was initially included in the grant itself.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Unanimously carried. Item number seven, adoption ordinance number 2014-05, repealing and recreating section 5.03c1 of the parking restriction ordinance. Do I have a motion concerning the adoption of the ordinance?
I think you should make that motion.
I'll make the motion to adopt it.
I'll second it.
Well,
hey, one question just to clarify this. Tracy, letter I has a statement that enclosed trailers are permitted to be parked in the driveway or side yard year-round. And there's no qualification on that, whether the side yard be hard-surfaced. And I had a situation with Mark recently in which the cover trailer was parked on the side yard. I just need a clarification on that.
I'd have to double check the ordinance, but it may be addressed elsewhere in the ordinance, Paul.
Okay.
That is talking about hard surface for that sign, because this does not, this is just a piece of the ordinance.
This is just a part of the ordinance?
Yeah, this is just part of it. It's much larger than this.
Like letter E clearly states that the utility trailer may be parked in the driveway, back, or side yard of a residentially zoned property year-round and need not be on a hard surface. The situation I've got is that auto transporter, that car transporter, which is an enclosed trailer parked on the side yard. And Mark did address it with the owner, but I'm just wondering if I opens that back up.
I have a vague recollection that I think it requires parking on a hard surface unless otherwise provided. You know, that's where the utility trailer comes in, because that can park on a non-hard surface as it says so, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
I would be satisfied with that provision if that is the case.
Yeah, it's right towards the front of the ordinance.
I don't know if you guys want to go on and I can check this quick.
I'm sorry. It's there. It's right here. It's right under section one, right at the beginning. Right towards the end, it says whether or not enclosed or fenced, with the following exceptions and conditions, and then only on a hard surface as defined herein.
Okay.
It has to be on a hard surface unless it says otherwise. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be a violation if it's on a non-hard surface on a side yard.
Yep. Okay.
Any other discussion concerning the ordinance? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously carried. Item number 8, Public Works Committee recommendations. We'll take them separately. Do I have a motion on 8A, the third garbage truck purchase? Trustee Green?
Move to approve.
I'll second that motion. Any discussion or questions for Craig? I know at the last meeting we discussed, a noise issue, and I think Craig looked into it and believes that, it affected only one of the trucks, and it was a tolerance issue, and will probably be addressed through proper greasing methods and just wear as that tolerance wears down a little bit. So it doesn't seem to be endemic to the vehicle, and we discussed that these vehicles are running fine and that the operators like them, and I think we got some good prices on this, and that's why we held the option open to acquire the third truck. Any other discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously carried. 8B is the Huffman Road project assessments. Is there a motion concerning this? Trustee Green?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
I will second that.
Any discussion? I can, I think the Public Works Committee met and seriously discussed with Craig's input the assessments, and I think there was a determination made at Public Works that, these kind of things for curb and gutter and sidewalk are really more of a public benefit than they are a private, benefit and should not be assessed. I think that does make sense since there's only a few houses that actually directly abut, the front of the house directly abuts Hoffman Road anyway, so these are kind of side yards or backyards, to most of those residents. So I'm in favor of the motion. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously carried. Action number 9, committee appointments. Steve made some recommendations. Can I find them? There they are. Howard Ropp to the Historical Preservation Committee. Do I have a motion appointing him? Trustee Dart?
I move to appoint.
Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Green seconds. Any discussion?
But I do have some discussion. I didn't know if I should go there first. He didn't put that he wanted to be in that group. Is he agreed to the boards of appeal?
Yes, I did call him just to ask because we had Anita in historical preservation, and then
he wanted to be on the
he's
board.
Okay.
Of appeal.
He had asked board of appeals originally, but then when we talked about historical preservation, he was fine with that. Thought that would be a good committee to get on, and he's willing to serve in that role.
I was just concerned that he might not like that.
No.
You never give people what they want.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously carried. Second appointment is Dave Doran to the Plan Commission. Do I have a motion concerning that appointment? Trustee Kobisch. Is there a second?
A second.
Trustee Zeller, any discussion?
Question on that. It looks like he's currently on the Park and Rec. He's currently on Park and Rec and Board of Review. Mm-hmm. Then would he step back from one of those? Or can Board of Review is once a year, I suppose. Park and Rec, he'll stay on. He wants to continue Park and Rec? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Any other discussion? Just one point, Tracy, we should probably, and we do periodically, commend some of these people, because I know Dave's name in particular, he's been on boards for, quite a few years. We do have a procedure for that, because I think we have things. Is it usually when they exit?
We had resolutions for when they served 10 years, but then they left the committees. Now they're staying on.
Okay.
So we decide how we want to deal with that.
Yeah, we should, because that's a valuable service to the village. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously carried. Report concerning summary of police activity.
I do have several copies of the report if anybody happens to need one. With the report, I just wanted to bring up a few points. If you'll notice, in the first page, our overall numbers are up as far as calls go. Now, all the calls, where I search these numbers, are calls coming in, either initiated by officers or being called into the dispatch center going through the CAD system, which is a computer-assisted dispatch system that the dispatch center and all the police cars in the county use. As far as why numbers are up, a few things come to mind. If you'll notice where I listed some of the call types out, you'll notice more crime prevention and building security calls. Basically what those are officers who are out checking buildings at night, out checking parks at night. In the past, they didn't always mark themselves out as doing something, so they may be sitting in a park working on paperwork or something like that. It's just a way for them to document their time, more or less, to show, hey, I was here watching the place, doing something, just making presence known in a park, maybe in odd hours of night, whatever the case may be. Same thing with building security screens, so to speak, or calls. I know in the past, officers didn't always do that as much. I think with the newer people coming on and the way things operate now, officers are doing that more and more, like I said, simply to document their time. If they spent it sitting in the park for a while, whatever the case may be. Last year, we also had a lot of traffic stops in the village. It was up quite a bit from the year before. In checking the numbers, within the village limits, there was 2,552 actual traffic stops. That's the number I came up with, was searching specifically within the geographical boundaries of the village of Valloping. Now, that doesn't necessarily represent at times where, for example, about a week ago, I followed someone down Alloway Avenue, and by the time I caught up, turned on my lights and everything, we were across into Bellevue by River Pines Drive. So that number doesn't necessarily represent that. What I did do tonight that's not in the report is I searched the number of traffic stops for the year only by deputies that were assigned to Alloway, and I came up with a number of 2,212. So the vast majority of them are by the Alloway deputies. The other numbers do represent a county squad or a traffic team car that may have been in the village and made traffic stop for whatever reason. That also reflected on our citations to the Alloway court. I think we did very well. In 2013, between traffic and ordinance citations, deputies wrote 1,496 citations compared to 1,148 in 2012. We also have medical calls involved in the numbers I searched. From what I could get out of our system, which I would assume is consistent with the fire department, I came up with 715 medical calls. especially with Green Bay Metro involved now, our officers aren't always responding to the calls. We do get dispatched every time, but a lot of times if it's not critical or not, you know, severe injury or something suspicious about it, we don't respond unless requested. Obviously, if any time it sounds like a traumatic injury or something like someone unconscious or anything like that, we do respond. As far as some of the calls, such as damage to property or theft calls, which I look at as basic quality of life type stuff, our numbers have been way down. For damage to property, in 2013 we had 42 complaints. This ranges from anything from maybe a random kids broke my lawn ornament type call to possibly someone who has someone at their house that they know that destroyed some of their stuff and left. So we had 42 complaints in 2013 as compared to 71 in 2012. Also, the theft calls were way down. And I know watching these numbers in the past, I've noticed that in summer especially, we've had some streaks of theft from vehicles, that type of thing. I only noticed that once or twice this last summer, so the call numbers were way down in general. We had 82 for 2013, and when I looked for 2012, we had 134. I also pay attention to what kind of theft calls they are, and the ones in particular that I make sure I keep a close eye on are the more random stuff, like if we're having a rash of car break-ins or something like that. And a lot of these calls I've noticed are not random in nature. It is, you know, someone at a party and their whatever got stolen, or it's somebody they know stealing from them, which, yeah, I'm not sure what we can do about that. But obviously, if it's a random vehicle break-in type situation or something along those lines, I think it's more important to pay more attention to and really get after that. Other stuff I just wanted to bring up. Lynn asked me earlier, I still have the landlord alert program going. I have quite a few properties signed up. Basically, what happens in our computer system is if there's a call at a certain address, I will get an email notification about it, and then I in turn notify the landlord. Right now, I'm still able to manage it. It's not something I spend a ton of time doing. I would say, you know, maybe a couple times a week I'll get an email notification. There was a call at a certain address, you know, somewhere. So then I look into it, see what the nature of the call was, and if it's a nuisance type situation, then I can start addressing that right away. We'll still be participating in the prescription drug take back program. I just got notification that we will be doing another date in April. It's always up in the air if the DEA is going to continue to fund it, so we do it, and then we don't really know what's going to happen until we hear about the next one, but I did just get notified, so we'll continue to participate in that. I know the last event we had in fall, as far as sheer weight goes, LA was number one in the county for all the communities that participated, so we get a good turnout here. We also did a Coffee with a Cop program. Myself and Tracy Steffens, who's the Bellevue DEO, went to a training last fall on this, and it was just a four-hour seminar at Green Bay Police Department. It's a program that started with the Hawthorne Police Department in California. The program got picked up by the Department of Justice, and now these officers from there go all over the country just teaching it how to do it. It's basically just a community relations tool. So we did it at the Village Grill. Kathy at the Village Grill was great about having it. It was a fun event to do. We had a good response from the people we talked to down there, and it's basically come have some coffee on us and talk to us about whatever you want to talk about type of thing. So we are planning another event. We don't have a date and time set up. This one we have in Alloway, so I anticipate the next one, Officer Stephens and I will probably do it in Bellevue somewhere, and so we're just kind of collaborating on that.
But how many people did you have show up?
For the actual event, people that saw an advertisement or however it was, we probably didn't have that many. I would say maybe 10. What we did do was chat up to customers and got positive feedback. It seems like everybody kind of got a kick out of it. We were just walking around trying to talk to people. So I think it was there's a learning curve to it. You know, and in the future, I think we need to, you know, make sure we advertise better. The location, you know, maybe someplace with a little bit more traffic, people coming and going, that we can just hang out and see who will approach us. So it's just a real simple idea that's kind of taken off across the country, and we're working on getting on board. And the only other department in the area that I know did one was Green Bay Police. But they hosted the initial seminar, so they did one the day after the training was taking place at the police department. So otherwise, I know other departments in Wisconsin have done them. I know from Door County and Superior, and there's actually officers from all over the state the day we did the training. So other numbers that I listed out, if you notice into it a little bit, there are arrest numbers. That's a whole bunch of pages that just shows a date and time. The next number after the date and time is actually the incident number, report number. Shows the person's age, their date of birth, and what the charge was. Just to make sure you're clear on what that is and if we need any explanation on it, when we do an arrest of anybody, whether it's take somebody into custody to take them into jail, or if we're referring a charge to the DA's office on them for review, or at an ordinance citation, what we do in our reporting system is make an arrest entry. So that is where these numbers come from. So you'll notice a lot of them, there are numerous charges involved in the same incident and not the same person. So talking to Lynn a little bit, for some reason there are a bunch of traffic stuff that came up on there. And what I believe happens there is if you see a traffic offense, like something like operating left of center line, usually associated with that is an OWI violation. So I think when the officers do the reports and the arrest entries, if it's an OWI violation, the other traffic violations also get included in that. So that's why those numbers are in there. Past that, if you have any specific questions or even about the arrest entries or where they're coming from or what happened in a specific incident, please let me know. I can look up the case number and we can get a better explanation for you. Any immediate questions?
Rick, in the descriptions of the arrests that you just went through,
yep,
there's a description that's titled inattentive driving.
Yes.
And then there were several that were lane deviation. And I'm wondering, in Wisconsin, can you pull someone over if they are texting? If they're texting while driving, and what is the infraction for that?
There is a specific law regarding texting while driving or using internet on your phone while driving. It's kind of flawed because what'll happen is, you know, I can watch somebody drive by staring at their cell phone. You know, technically I could pull them over, but if they tell me, oh no, I was just dialing a phone number, making a call, or if I was receiving a call and answering the phone, then I don't have much to go on because the law is very specific to texting and or internet usage. I can always ask them, well, can I see your phone and, you know, confirm what you're telling me, but if they tell me no, I'm kind of out of luck. So a lot of times what I've been doing, if I do see someone on their phone, if I see some other infraction or something, I will stop them and I will also ask them about the cell phone issue. I can say personally I've given one citation for texting while driving because the person told me, well, I wasn't actually texting, I was only reading a text. Which is texting. So, that's my personal experience with it.
So there is there's a description for that that you can cite. You can cite. That there is one here that's illegal parking, off-street parking, and it's entered twice on the same incident number, but I don't see an OWI with it.
I believe I know which incident that's from because I think I'm probably the only one that's ever issued that citation. That was a nuisance property where I cited the landlord for two different incidents.
Okay.
They actually didn't have that violation in our computer system until I wrote the ticket. I had to go tell them that we need that one in there so we can document.
Okay, so
it gets used very little.
That's a citation, not necessarily an arrest.
Correct. It'd be a
charge
or ordinance citation.
Okay.
Yeah, municipal ordinance citation.
Okay.
Any other questions for her?
as I said, if ever you have any questions about something that's going on or whatever in general, please don't hesitate to contact me.
Rick, what's the general nature of the, I mean, I noticed that, you know, in terms of calls, we had welfare checks of about 213. Is that when somebody comes in and says, look, I can't get a hold of grandma or I can't get a hold of mom?
Yeah, that's quite often the case with those. Or if maybe a suicidal person or someone calls and says, I just talked to so-and-so, they were making weird comments to me or said they took pills or something along those lines, then we consider a welfare check and follow up with it.
And we've got some at-risk elderly, I know, that you guys check on.
No, this was, I thought this report was really well done, and it's kind of nice because you can see actually the running list of all the different citations that have been issued. You can tell when there were underage drinking parties because there's
parties
10 or 12
obvious.
Right in a row, you know, that shoot off the page.
But. Yeah, I guess I kind of was wondering whether I wanted to include it because it seemed like a lot of filler, but at the same time it shows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That we're out there doing stuff, whether it's actual making arrests or whether it's just referring a report or citations or whatever's going on.
No, but I thought it was very useful. Any other questions? All right, thanks, Rick.
Thanks.
Then item number 11 is the quarterly fire department report.
Well, good evening. As you might notice, I'm not Mike Neff. Mike is at family emergency tonight, and so he could not make it. I'm David Litton. I'm the fire chief in Green Bay Metro, the combined fire department, so I'm here to make the report, and I'll be happy to answer any questions for you at the end. And before we get into our documents that we have there, I just want to bring up a couple of really quick points, some of the things that are going on, not only in Green Bay, but in Alloway, in the combined department. First and foremost, I think the most important thing is, as we looked at the data, and we'll get to that in a second, for the year of 2013 and incorporated a full year of the merger, we were hitting the target response times 98% of the time. The document requires that we make it at 90%. We've been making it at 98%. And quite honestly, that's better than some of my areas in Green Bay. And in fact, the area that I live in Green Bay, it's better than that rate there. So we're real happy about that, and I'll talk about that more here in a second. We are adjusting everything on an ongoing basis as we evaluate our responses, how things are going, where we're going with things. And so we have just recently made some further adjustments so that when we are training, we basically train half the department at a time. And so if we're training the west side, then we have to move resources around, and if we're training the east side, back and forth. We are now, previously, maybe 6 months ago, right as I got here, we were pulling training. We would pull the vehicles out of Alloway, and they would be at Station 2 in downtown Green Bay. And with nobody here. And so we've adjusted that now, and we're moving people in here all the time, trying to make sure that the very few amount of times that we didn't meet that number, that we're going to meet it. And so that's one of the adjustments that we've made here recently. I will tell you that in our ongoing evaluation of our department and how we operate, we don't sell widgets, and so we don't have any profit to measure. And so our metrics or our measurement is how fast we can intervene in somebody's problem to make it better for them. And so as part of that, we looked at how long it does it take when you call 911, how long does it take the dispatcher to answer the phone, get the information, and then press the button to get it out to us so that our responders can get to your emergency. And what we found in that process, not only in Green Bay, but in Alloway, was that in many cases, the dispatchers were being delayed because of a system called ProQA, and that's a system that allows the dispatchers to ask a series of questions in order for them to be able to provide directions to the caller on medical issues, on how to help, and to determine whether or not we're going to send just an ambulance, just an engine, if they're going to go by emergency or not emergency, in other words, just follow the traffic laws. And what I found when I started looking at that data was that, on average, it was taking them 2 minutes and 44 seconds to get us dispatched. And that's just way above the national standard and not acceptable. And there were some cases where it was going 8 and 9 minutes. So We worked with Brown County Dispatch. We worked with our partners in Brown County, all the other fire departments, with Mavis 112, Brown County Fire Chiefs. And effective April 1st, they've already started to bring that down, but effective April 1st, we're going to do what's called a pre-alert. You're going to call in and you're going to say, so-and-so's having chest pains. Here's my address and here's the phone number. They're going to dispatch us immediately. And then they're going to continue to ask the series of questions that they follow through this system that will get us on the street anywhere from a minute and a half to 2 minutes faster. We can't make things better unless we're there to intervene. And so that was the first part of that. The other thing that I've been looking at is our turnout time. And by that I mean from the time the dispatcher alerts us until the time that our personnel actually get in the vehicles and hit the button that they're responding. That we can control as well. And I wanted to make sure that in all cases we were doing everything that we could to get there as quickly as we can. And what can affect that? Well, we started finding out there were some technology issues all over Green Bay and in Alloway. There were some equipment issues and some software issues. And so there's a national standard for turnout time at 90 seconds. And there were many cases where we were going above that on a monthly average. So we have begun to address that, and those numbers are starting to compress as well. And the net result of all that is that our responders are getting to the emergencies quicker now, and that's going to continue to shrink down. And so from a public safety standpoint, it's really doing what we're supposed to do, doing it as efficiently as we can, as professionally as we can, as safely as we can. So just want to bring that to your attention. A couple other things. There's some new research that's been out there from Underwriters Laboratories and the National Institute of Science and Technology. They've done some major scientific testing on how firefighters attack fires. And what they found in these studies, the initial studies anyway, was that some of the things that we have done for years, decades, may not be the best way to do things. And so we have taken that study and we have looked at that, and we've looked at our procedures, and we are starting to incorporate some of those new methods and incorporating those into our tactics. And here's the important thing. What happens in what you'll see on TV all the time, what people have a tendency to do, somebody has a fire in their house and the neighbors get there and they're like, oh my gosh, the house is full of smoke. Knock the windows out, knock the doors out so that the smoke will come out. Well, how many of you have a fireplace? How do you get a fireplace going? You take the stoker and you blow some air on there, right? And you see it getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon it's roaring. It's the same effect when you break windows and open the doors if you're not ready to put water on it. So we are incorporating some changes where we're not going to be doing those kind of things. We're going to be getting ready to apply water before we start ventilating the structure, basically. We're going to control the doors better. We are, in many cases, going to be putting water on the fire from the outside. And a study shows that by doing that, you make the survivability of any victim that might be in that house, the temperatures drop rapidly. And they did a series of tests. It's not one test. This was about 50 tests. And in every case, applying water from the outside before we went go in drops the temperature to a place that might make it survivable for people that are trapped inside. So we're incorporating that new science into our operation in Alloway, Green Bay, and I'm going to guess it's going to spread around the area. So one other area that's going to have some significant impact for our citizens is this. Everybody knows what carbon monoxide is, correct? Everybody has a carbon monoxide detector, I hope, right? And so we know that those detectors are there, and if they chirp, that we know, and if they alarm, that we might have a problem. And we know that carbon monoxide is very potent, it's toxic, and it's deadly in the right amount. New data, again, not so new, but new to this area. We're finding that when we have a fire and the smoke products that come from that, there's a very deadly chemical in there called hydrogen cyanide. And there's no... it's not present typically in the atmosphere in high levels, but when you burn stuff, anything in this room that contains nitrogen, which is everything, the off gas is hydrogen cyanide. And here's where it's important to us. when we have a smoke-exposed victim or somebody that's not been able to get out of their house and they've been exposed to smoke, scientifically it's been proven that they're dying from hydrogen cyanide poisoning and not from the carbon monoxide poisoning or a combination of the two. And so we have implemented, we're training right now, we're finishing up the training at the end of next week. We are implementing a new metering program so that when we come to any kind of fire, whether it's a food on a stove fire or whether it's a full-blown room and contents or a big structure fire, we're going to monitor for hydrogen cyanide. And here's the important part. If we have a citizen, any of our citizens, that might be smoke exposed, maybe they were unable to get out, and it happens a lot, hydrogen cyanide is 24 to 35 times more toxic than carbon monoxide. And the studies have shown in Saratoga, New York County, Houston, Texas, down in Florida, and other areas of this country, that if you don't treat them appropriately, and they come out, they're probably not going to make it. The good news is we can meter for that, we can monitor for it, because we just bought the monitors, they're here in Alloway, they're going to be in Green Bay. And there is a fix, there's an antidote, and it's called a cyano kit. And so we have purchased those kits to be priced on all of our ambulances, and the battalion chiefs will have them, and County Rescue has bought 5 kits. We've kind of spread this all over the county now. And essentially, when administering those kits, there's a 75% save rate. So, zero save before. I've been doing this for 32 years. I can't tell you how many people I've had the unfortunate occurrence of having to bring them out, and none of them made it. With this new kit, the science has shown between 60 and 75% survival. The kits cost $800 a piece, one dose, and they expire in 2 to 3 years. So my hope is we never have to use them, and we throw them away, and I buy a whole new set. But I think, from a public safety standpoint, it's really important information. You're going to see a lot of this on the news here coming up, and you'll see a lot of our public education folks on TV coming up here shortly with these new tactics, talking about the intervention with the neighbors, don't break the windows, don't kick the doors down. We're going to interface with our police officers to make sure they're not doing the same thing. And so some really good things are occurring from a public safety standpoint from that regard. So if you want to get to, I know that when the merger, one other thing, just very quickly, when the consolidation discussions were going on, I was not part of those. I've been here about 7 months now, but I know that training was a big issue, and Mike wanted to highlight some of those things. We have set out a program to develop our officers. Green Bay every year has turnover in a department, and at the end of 2014, we are going to lose between 10 and 15 senior officers, captains and lieutenants, and we know this. And so as we evaluated that, we set out to make sure that those folks that are going to be promoted and moving up, that they're getting the training now so that when our group leaves at the end of this year, that they're completely ready to go. And so that's ongoing right now. I will tell you that the training efforts for all the members have probably been doubled. So every day, all day long, if they're not running calls or fixing something or cleaning the station, they're training. And that's going to continue from this point forward. That's really not going to change. So be interested. If you're interested in ever coming to any of those trainings, you're certainly welcome. Our recruit academy, which will retrain the new people that are coming in, will have 7 or 8 starting on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. That academy will run until May 30th at the Technical College. If anybody's interested in going out there and observing that, you're certainly welcome to. Just let us know and we'll set you up to go out there. So now we'll get into the heart of the matter, what your report in front of you there. And we'll just kind of flip through it page by page very quickly. I know you guys want to get out of here. After the cover page there, you'll see for the last 4 months, it's in summary type. And if you look at the box on the right-hand side there, it's got a pie chart. But essentially 74.3% of the calls that we have here in Alloway, this is broken out just for Alloway, EMS or rescue calls, emergency medical services. That pretty much mirrors the same thing in Green Bay. We kind of see the same pretty much blend. And then you can see the breakouts, false calls, fire, good intent, hazardous conditions. and other. And by the next report, I'm going to break all those things down for you, because when you see like a good intent percentage, or you see a false call, it's really not a good, accurate description. So, you know, a false call could be coded. It could be just what we talked about a little bit earlier, carbon monoxide detector activation that activated, but we found no carbon monoxide. When you do this report, it lumps it into a false call. And so it doesn't give you a terribly accurate thing of exactly what's going on there. So by the next quarter, we'll break that out for you a little further so you can actually see exactly what is going on. But in the quarter, a total of 261 calls last quarter. And then the next page that you're looking at would be the fourth quarter results as far as our meeting the 8-minute benchmark that we referred to. 194 EMS responses, four were above the 8 minutes. So that's about 2%. My goal by this time next year is to have zero. So that's what we're working at getting done. Our agreement says 90%, so we're at 98. We're doing pretty good. We want to try to eliminate even those four. The next page there really just kind of shows you the backup, you know, and what's happening with those four. I will just tell you that in every one of those cases, we had an ambulance call in Alloway already, and then we had a second one. And so we were moving an ambulance from one of our stations in to catch that second call here. And so those were the four instances where it went a little longer. I can tell you that our battalion chiefs are doing a much better job now managing our resources and moving people all day long. So we never want to leave any area of our town even remotely uncovered. So they're really doing a much better job of managing that. But that chart that you see next that shows all the ambulances, those are all vehicles that are in the Green Bay Metro fleet. All of, you know, the Alloway vehicles would be a 481 number. That's the engine 481. And then ambulance 481, those are the two Alloway vehicles, so you can see. But you can also see that ambulance 421, that's the Green Bay Metro Station 2 ambulance, has been over into Alloway 77 times on calls. 77 on EMS calls, 6 times on fire calls, and on down the line. I won't read through them all, but you can just see that the support from the full Greenville Metro is there. The next chart is just the whole year of 2013. 1,591 total calls, 1,558 in compliance, 33 that were delayed. And again, in every single one of those instances, it was because there was already a call going on in Alloway, an ambulance or a fire call, and so the secondary vehicles were coming into those. And again, we're starting to move and manage our resources better now so that we shouldn't see that kind of, even that kind of a number. 2% is really good. I don't know that we could ever get it to zero, but that's our goal. And so that's where we're at. And again, Mike provided you there the 2014 responses to the village. Again, it just shows the two highlighted boxes are the two vehicles here. In Alloway. And it says 2014 there at the top, and I believe that it's actually the 2013 numbers. And then last but not least, the last page is the incident summary by incident type. That's the full year's total responses of the entire Green Bay Metro Fire Department. So we ran 11,668 calls last year. You see them broken down by month. You see them broken down at EMS rescue, 72%, and on down the line. So, again, I intend to break down those good intents, the hazardous conditions, the other, and the service calls for you in much better detail in the next quarter so that you can actually see what goes into those. Those are not, you know, when you see a good intent call, what does that mean? Well, it's people that call and say, I see a house that's on fire, and we get there, and it's a vent stack. You know, we have to go and insure, but those are the kind of things that kind of fall into that. Service calls, we do a lot of assistance for helping people from cars into their house. We do a lot of service calls of helping people move in their house, folks that are disabled and unable to do so. So we do a lot of that kind of work as well. So that'll end the report. I'd be happy to answer any questions for you.
Any questions for the chief?
Are we still getting a lot of repeated calls from facilities for help getting residents off the floor? At one time, there was some issue with that.
No more here than in the greater Green Bay area. So, you know, we try to work with those facilities. Our EMS division, Chief Spielman, works very closely with those kind of facilities to help them train their staff and so forth. So they, you know, the issue here in Alloway is no different than the issue in Green Bay proper. Bellevue, Ashwaubenon, you name it.
At one time it was, so that's why I just
It's nothing unusual or out of the ordinary. At this point.
Good. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments for the chief? From my perspective, chief, I just think that these numbers and your report shows the, I think, wisdom of the consolidation. I think it's, I'm amazed at how smoothly it all worked. You know, I mean, there didn't seem to be any major hiccups or roadblocks, and it's run just, you know, been wonderful, and it's been, you know, very tight and very efficient. And it sounds like you're hitting the ground running with the training and adopting some of these new scientific, you know, measures, and which will, you know, decrease the response time. So I for one am very pleased with how this has gone and is going. So thank you.
In closing, I just want to say that Tracy and Craig, both our interactions with them, our staff, with especially the public works staff, when we've been on the field and things, has been fantastic. And so their staff's been great. I want to just make sure that you guys were aware of that. And Tracy's fantastic all the time and wherever we have any interaction. So I wanted to say thank you to them.
Well, and I suspect, Chief, with that, with the Hilltop fire, I mean, that's been kind of a good case study to see how, because it doesn't get much bigger than that. And, you know, a good case study to see how well things worked and where things could probably be improved maybe a little bit.
You bet. We never want to have another one of those case studies ever again.
Sounds good to me.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. All right, next item up, we have a motion to adjourn. Trustee Kolpish, second by Trustee Green, all in favor.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.